Thank you for coming to the interview, Mr. Boyle. Oh. And now that you're leaving your controller's job at Radio 4, what experience do you think you can bring to the British Library?
Well, I thought I'd start by moving everything around, really. The reference section's been where it is for far too long. I'm not sure I like the positioning of the fiction, and my first priority will be to revamp the books by turning them all upside down and moving them to where people cannot find them.
Mm, well, that's excellent. And we would want the applicant to start on Monday.
No, I can't. I've axed Monday and moved it to Tuesday.
Dead Ringers.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Star for a Night. Tonight's first rising star is Mr. Jack Straw, fresh from the Pinochet and Tyson controversies, and he's going to be singing the Okie Cokie. Take it away, Jack.
Okay.
I've let a rapist in, a tyrant out, in, out, shake the law about, do the hokey cokey, turn your policies around, that is what I'm all about. Oh, do the hokey cokey, my decisions are a big jokey, I'm an inconsistent blokey, you turn back down, rah, rah, rah.
Great moments in history, number 712. The breakthrough in the Northern Ireland peace talks.
Mole. There can be no question of peace while the British Army has a presence in Northern Ireland.
I can no longer sit in this room with these murdering agents of the papacy.
Perhaps we need a break. Perhaps you'd like to try one of these home-baked cookies made to my own special recipe. Tuck in, everyone. All right, what about the marching season?
We Republicans will never accept Orange Order marches through Catholic areas of the province. Though, I must admit, orange is a very pretty colour. It reminds me of a big, happy, sun-smiling, all days beautiful.
No! It's more like a giant bouncy beach ball, Jerry. Like the one Mummy used to let us play with on the beach at Skegness.
Mr. Trimble, another cookie for you?
Oh, no, I shouldn't. Oh, yeah, why not? All right. Yeah, they're exceptionally good. That's right. With these cookies, Ambassador, you're really spoiling us. Has anyone else noticed how pretty these IRA murals you see all over Bogside are?
This is Hugh Edwards live now outside Stormont, where talks have concluded for the day, though the parties are expected to reconvene at 3 a.m. in a Belfast 7-Eleven. For Doritos, Mars bars and those big biscuits made out of Rice Krispies.
Hello and welcome to film 00. Now, Michael Crawford was recently denied the chance to play the lead role in the film adaptation of The Phantom of the Opera. And to add insult to injury, Michael has also been turned down for the part of Frank in the movie version of Some Mothers Do Have 'Em, in favour of none other than Joe Pesci.
Oh, Betty, the mother-loving cat has done a whoopsie in my freaking berry.
Oh, Frank.
And also look out for Johnny Depp and Tom Hanks in the forthcoming film On the Buses 2, The Waff of Blakey.
So, Jonathan, how was it done?
I just don't know.
You? Jonathan Creek? Master of the unexplained, don't know.
Well, I know how he managed to foresee his own death. What I can't work out is how he managed to tie himself up, gag himself, lock himself into a room 300 miles away, and kill his wife with opium after he was killed himself.
It's hopeless, then.
Well, no, because I've found someone who might be able to help.
Oh, it's obvious. It was Prince Philip and the CIA who did it. They tampered with the brakes on the Mercedes. Admit it, Phil.
But for your pesky meddling, I'd have got away with it too.
It's 2.765 recurring minutes
to 9. So, it's time now for me to ask a very long and involved question of someone who's been waiting since 6:30 to be interviewed, only to run out of time before they get a chance to answer. The Pope is in the radio car.
Hi!
Good morning, Your Holiness. Now, I'm about to ask you a very long and involved question, only to run out of time before you get a chance to answer. Is that okay?
Yes, that's fine.
Sorry, I'm going to have to stop you there, Your Holiness. I'm afraid we've run out of time. Now, coming up next is the news, followed by Jeremy Paxman sneering at a woman on Start the Week. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Good morning!
Mo, yeah, I've got to say that we're all, well, we're all really worried about you. Concerned look.
Worried, Prime Minister?
Yeah, well, you know, you've been dabbling with dangerous substances.
Look, Tony, that was over 30 years ago. I haven't touched cannabis since...
Cannabis? Mo, who's talking about cannabis? I'm talking about the fact that you're clearly hopelessly addicted to telling the truth. wide smile concealing the rage within.
Oh, all right. So I like to tell the truth every now and then. It's no big deal. It gives me a buzz.
Yeah, look, I'm not some old square. Cherie and I, you know, we often kick back of an evening behind closed doors and say that things are true. Pained expression.
Oh, there you go, then, you know.
No, but Mo, it's purely recreational for us. You know, we wouldn't dream of doing it in public. You've just got to remember how dangerous it can be.
Well, dangerous? How?
Well, if you keep telling the truth, you'll end up being more popular than me, and we wouldn't want that, would we, now? Sinister frown.
And now, in a desperate bid to increase ratings, yet another period drama.
Abdicate for the love of a woman? Is this truly the way for a monarch to behave? And yet, there is something about Mrs. Simpson, some intangible different, that draws me like no other woman has done. Ah, Mrs. Simpson, have you come to say you will marry me?
Oh, Eddie, I already have a husband. Homer, and the girls, and Bart.
But?
Homie needs me.
Surely you cannot pass up on the chance for all of this. What does Homer have that I do not?
Well, Homer has a job.
But how will I manage without your delicate yellow skin and enchanting tall blue hair?
Oh, Eddie, you'll cope. The world is full of Mrs. Simpsons, you know.
Dough.
BBC Radio 4, of which I am the daddy. Business news now, and there's been a merging of two pharmaceutical giants. Not Liam Gallagher and Mo Molum. I wrote that one myself. But Glaxo Welcome and SmithKline Beecham. Here's Charlotte Green with the details.
The new company is to be known simply as GlaxoSmithKline. Other potential name merges include Vodafone and Manusman, presumably to form Vodaman, with apologies to Carol, and Walmart and Asda, Wasda. The proposed merging of Cunard and Aer Lingus has been abandoned.
Charlotte Green wouldn't mind merging with her.
Oh, hello, darling. I'm home.
Hi. How was your day, Quentin?
Awful. I tell you, those Top Gear directors work us harder than a... Well, then something hard. Oh, how will I ever make it as a TV motoring reporter when I can't even manage a simple metaphor like that?
Don't worry, Quentin. That parcel you sent away for has arrived.
Yes. Right.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Clarkson. And you've just purchased How to Sound Like Jeremy Clarkson. You listen, you repeat, you understand. Let's start off with some laddish metaphors, because these go down about as well as a Colombian hooker after half a dozen tequilas. Try a metaphor yourself. Repeat after me. That engine has got more torque than a meeting of the Women's Institute Guild.
That engine has more torque than a meeting of the Women's Institute Guild.
Just wait till you squeeze yourself into some tiny jeans and get your bubble perm. then you look a complete arse.
Quentin, how's the tape?
The tape? This tape plays better than the director's cut of Debbie Does Dallas. And it's easier to pick up than a sex-starved nymphomaniac stranded on a desert island.
Darling, that was really, really offensive. Well done.
Thanks.
Dino Services, good evening. How can I help?
Hello, is that the locksmith?
Yes.
Ah, excellent. I am the doctor. I'm afraid that I've locked myself out. Can you help me?
Okay, what's the postcode of the site address, please?
The problem is, I seem to have locked myself out of my vehicle.
All right. Let me see if I have a locksmith in the area that's...
How can you help me?
Well, I'm looking to see if I've got a locksmith that deals with cars.
Is that going to get me back into the TARDIS?
City Centre Locksmiths, how can I help you?
Hello, is that the locksmith?
It is indeed, yes.
Excellent. I'm afraid that I've locked myself out. How can you help me?
Well, can I have your name, please?
I'm very sorry.
Can I have your name, please?
Most people call me the doctor.
Can I have a telephone number, please?
Yes, I have several. Can you help me to get back in? How will you help me?
Well, if I get your details, I can try and get one of our locksmiths to call you back as soon as possible.
Oh, excellent. Is that going to help me to get back into the TARDIS?
I hope so.
Are you familiar with locking devices used in interstellar travel?
Not particularly, no.
Thank you very much for bearing with me. Listen, my TARDIS lock is isomorphic. It responds only to my metabolic imprint. If you do not get here soon, the Master will open the Eye of Harmony inside the TARDIS.
Oh, is that Master? All right. A week next Tuesday?
I must... If you do not arrive here very soon, I will not be able to get back to the planet Skaro precisely 10 minutes before the creation of the Daleks, and the universe as you know it will cease to exist.
Oh, that's okay, then.
How much for that? 90 quid?
Plus VAT.
Sorted.
Something up, Lieutenant?
Yeah, the show is. I can't understand it. I followed the guest star around for the whole show, shrugging my shoulders in a completely baffled kind of way. I've gone on and on and on about Mrs. Columbo, yet he still won't admit to the murder.
Oh, you fopping foppers! It's as clear as the mole on Mrs. Alfred's face. It was Prince Philip, Mossad, and the CIA that did it.
To outsiders, it appeared he had everything. A job that commanded respect. Work that took him all over the world. A loving family and wife. A career that spanned radio and television. The ability to tackle complex moral arguments. And then one day, he threw it all away. For a career presenting, stop, police, bang, ouch! I'll be finding out how much cash prompted the choice for Michael Burke in The Choice on Radio 4 this morning with me, Michael Burke.
David, a lion. Just you and me reading the papers.
Yeah, mine's really interesting, Victoria. There's a picture of Mike Tyson, right? Standing on his head. It's all part of his training routine, I suppose.
You've got it upside down.
Oh, yeah.
And, David, you're not allowed just to look at the pictures, OK? You've got to read the words as well.
I am, as it goes. I've just read the whole of the Daily Telegraph and it only took me half an hour.
What, the whole paper?
No, the big words on top of page one.
Actually, you know, I think I might be getting this superbug.
Yeah, that sounds really good. How much is it?
It's not good, David. It makes you ill.
Oh.
And if I get it, I'll give it straight to you.
Well, if you give it to me, I'll give it back to you.
No, I'll already have it, won't I?
No, not if you're giving it to me, you won't.
Oh, yeah. Anything else going on?
Jack Straw is going to let General Pinocchio go home. And there's been an increase in street robberies.
I hope they don't steal ours.
Yeah.
Maybe we should go and check on Brooklyn, see if he's awake yet.
Yeah, I'll just switch on the baby monitor.
What do you mean, switch it on?
Well, I switched it off before we went to bed, didn't I? I might have woken us up.
David, you're so clever.
Ah, hello one and all, and a hearty welcome. The brain of Britain now. First question, Mrs. Smith, is to you. Blether, blether, highbrow. Blether, blether, guff, bluster, blether.
The inauguration of Cardinal Wolsey in 1685?
Ah, would that it were. No, Mr. Collins.
The semiotics of Griffith's 1915 work, Birth of a Nation?
I don't know how you came up with that. No, Mr. Johnson.
A great big wobbly pair of massive bazongas.
Correct, a great big wobbly pair of massive bazongas indeed. Now, next question to you then. Mr. Collins, blether, waffle, snooty, blether. Middle class bluster, blether, waffle, guff.
Runnymede?
Ah, it wasn't. No, shame on you. Mrs. Smith.
The Dadaist movement?
It isn't. Oh, dear, Mr. Johnson.
A great big pair of floppy, massive, enormous, wobbly blubber bags.
Well done, sir. It was a great big pair of floppy, massive, enormous, wobbly blubber bags. And at the end of that round, I can tell you that I'd rather be doing Ask the Family Again like I used to. At least that was with normal people, even if they were a little thick. Good night.
Blackadder, just the chap I wanted to see.
I wish I could say the same, Your Highness. But if I did, it would be a lie so enormous that it wouldn't even fit in the Reverend Whopper's travelling big fib circus.
Once again, Blackadder, I understand not a word you say.
I know, Your Highness, you might be the Prince of Wales, but you have the intellect of a retarded chicken who's dead.
Don't try to sweet-talk me, Blackadder. Anyway, I wanted to know if you'd read my very clever comments in the papers about that horrible great domey thing that they've built in the middle of London.
Horrible great domey thing, Your Highness? Do you mean St. Paul's Cathedral? Hmm.
I've let it be known to the press that I think it looks like a monstrous blancmange. Hmm.
And are the press interested in your pudding similes, Highness?
I think you'll find in years to come that I will be proved right. I have an unerring eye for what is beautiful, Blackadder.
Sorry to disturb you, Your Highness, but there's a horse with a hat on at the door.
I think Mrs. Parker Bowles has arrived, sir.
I was sharing a pot of Earl Grey with Thora Heard. It was after the Whist Drive yesterday. We heard a man on the wireless talking about Mo Molem. She's called a cabinet enforcer, which in my day meant performing repairs on a Welsh dresser. Apparently she's confessed that she, of all people, had tried cannabis in the past. Well, I was so shocked I upset my hostess trolley and scattered my macaroons all over the antimacassars. Needless to say, Thora cast me a bespectacled expression of disbelief. How can anyone be so foolish as to take cannabis, she exclaimed. I would have thought, with her considerable means, she could have afforded the finest Colombian cocaine. And suddenly there was a knock on the door. It was Mr. Eckersley from number 42, wanting to know if we'd like to score some really class A gear. Well, I was understandably circumspect, remembering that in the past, Mr. Eckersley had tried to fob us off with some really dodgy whiz. But he assured me all the powder he was dealing now was top quality Charlie. I could only say to you what I said to him, that this part of Yorkshire is my turf. And as for Miss Mo Molem, if she wants to hang with the big boys, she'd better be prepared to match me gram for gram, which, of course, she isn't.
So, now that you've been chosen as the Tory candidate for London Mayor, Stephen, I need certain reassurances.
No, old bean, I can assure you I haven't looked at another man's wife for over,
Oh, William, you didn't say we had company.
Well, hello. Heaven must be missing an angel. Ah, how did you end up with a ravishing filly like this, old bean? Ding dong.
I wooed her, Stephen, with a combination of my dashing good looks, my dynamic personality. Eh? Hang on, what's going on? Where is that music coming from? This is not my Kajagoogoo greatest hit CD.
No. This is one of mine. Keep it handy in case, in case something unexpected comes up. Ding dong. Now, Fionn, darling, your hair is like pure gossamer wing and those legs.
Ooh. Oh, Mr. Norris, no one's spoken to me like that since my wedding night.
Yeah, that bellboy was a bit forward, wasn't he? Anyway, Stephen, so you've given me your word, you're going to mend your philandering ways.
What? Oh, sorry, old chap, I didn't realise you were still here.
Darling, isn't it time for your judo with Seb Coe?
Ah, you're right, Schnuckums. It'll be nice to get back in my pyjamas and practice a few holds.
You're reading my mind, old boy. Woof, woof. Ding dong.
Have you worked out who's haunting this deserted fairground yet? Me and Scooby are so scared.
Scooby-Doo? Scooby scared?
Case is just so perplexing. I did think, as usual, it would be old Mr. Jameson, the fairground caretaker, but since he was brutally murdered by the headless horseman, I'm stumped.
I'm scared!
Sykes, then we're doomed! Doomed!
It's so obvious! It was Prince Philip and the CIA who did it!
So it was him under the sheet all along!
And I'd have got away with it, too, if it wasn't for those pesky feds.
Welcome to the new series of Back to the Floor, the show that lets high-powered bosses experience what life is like for their staff. This week, it's Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise.
Well, I think I run a pretty ship-shape operation, so I'm not expecting to find anything too out of the ordinary.
So you see, Mr. Picard, these motion-activated doors may be very swanky, but they're a swine to clean.
Yes. Yes, I can see that. So you reach out with your chamois, but the damn thing's shrooshed before you can get a drop of Windoline on it.
Jean-Luc faces more problems in the Enterprise repair shop.
Right. Have to fix this phaser. Let's have a look at the manual. Congratulations for choosing the Microsoft Favor 3000. To reassemble, attach bracket A to brace B via ratchet G. Yes, right. No, you. Make it so.
Oh, make it bleeding so yourself.
Have you finished cleaning the Klingon lavvy yet?
Almost. Yes. Welcome back to film 000. Now, Jodie Foster has resolutely refused to reprise her role as Clarice Starling in the sequel to Silence of the Lambs. So the producers have hired a British replacement. Here's a clip.
A census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti. Delia.
Well, Hannibal, fava beans are readily available in most larger branches of Sainsbury's. But I find that human liver benefits from a more robust accompaniment, possibly beetroot or a dressed rocket salad, or even someone's knackers in a bap.
Anthony Hopkins and Delia Smith there. And also keep an eye out for the upcoming sequel to The Shining, starring Keith Floyd and that beardy bloke off Food and Drink.
Hello, this is BBC Information. How can I help?
Yes, I'd like you to transfer me to the complaints department, please.
This is the complaints department. What did you complain about?
Right, I understand one of your Radio 4 programmes, and I believe it may be called Dead Ringers. I've been informed that this programme has been containing material which has ridiculed me quite severely.
Right.
Now, I wouldn't normally mind, you know, this sort of situation, but I am trying to consolidate my position as leader of the Conservative Party, and it's not really going to do me any good to be continually ridiculed, is it?
Right. Whereabouts are you calling from?
I'm calling from Conservative Central Office.
Oh, right. Just bear with me a second.
Hurry up.
Right, sorry to keep you there. So that was the Dead Ringers programme.
Dead Ringers, yes, I understand that they've been ridiculing me very, very severely, and as leader of this Conservative Party, I refuse to tolerate this any longer.
Would you like to leave your name?
The name is William Hague, Conservative Party leader.
Okay.
And I refuse to be referred to as the illegitimate spawn of Anne Widdecombe and Nicholas Parsons.
Were you laughing then?
No, just enjoying your humour.
Thank you very much. If you want to come round on a Thursday, Fionn's away at bingo. We can sort the problem out then.
OK, Mr. Hayes, thanks for calling.
So, what's in the news this week? A police sniffer dog has been accused of racism. It's now been dismissed from the drug squad and promoted to chief constable. A contestant on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire missed out on the top prize because he didn't know anything about cricket. On the positive side, though, he's just been hired to captain England. Thank you, sir. Vanessa Feltz says she now feels like a new woman. Unfortunately, so did her husband. And finally, Melanie Sykes has admitted having three top-class English football players in one night. If only Kevin Keegan could say the same thing.
Dead Ringers starred Alistair McGowan, Jan Ravens, John Culshaw and Simon Lipson. The producers were Bill Dare, Danny Wallace and Mario Stilianides. It was written by John Holmes and Andy Hurst, Simon Blackwell, Neb Fountain and Tom Jameson, Ivor Badil and Ashley Baroda, Robin Ince and Ed Dyson, D.A. Barham, Rupert Russell, Richard Iodi and Matt Holness, Steve Cochran, Lawrence Howarth, Ewan Marshall and Trevor Lloyd, Mark Haynes, Marcus Harbin and Gerard Foster, with additional material by Oriana Cena and Faye Rustling, Terry Franks-Newman, Ian Fletcher, Toby Thunder, Arnie Sidebottom and Bolton Tipshifter!